Good evening. This is Elaine Ireland with Going Global for Spirit. You know that this is bbsradio.com. We are the worldwide number one internet talk radio network on the planet. That's a lot to say. And with me tonight is Kate Braun. She's back to celebrate with us the winter solstice and educate us about what that means. We're going to have a little bit of fun with the Oak King and the Holly King rivalry, and she'll get to all of that. But grab a pencil and a piece of paper. I'm going to give you some phone numbers. And for those of you that have not listened for a while, they may be new to you. We now have a worldwide number as well as a number that USA and Canada shares. Give those to you in a moment. Welcome, Kate. Welcome back.
Hi there. It's good to be back.
What has been happening with you since the last time you were on? It's been a couple of months.
Well, you know, it's the routine, the fairs and the expos and feeding the cats and doing the Christmas shopping and all the stuff that people do this time of year.
Are you ready for the holidays?
Yes, I am. Went to the Armadillo Christmas Bazaar today and got the last of the few little things bought, so all my Christmas shopping is done.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I'm so jealous. I have one more day. I've got a couple more hours to do. I want to bring some of that energy into our discussion tonight, the shopping and the Christmas and all of that, with when you tell us about the winter solstice and what it means and its spiritual depth. I want to get a little bit deeper tonight than we have before about some of this, because it is so close to Christmas. What is the date of the winter solstice?
Saturday, December the 26th.
Saturday?
Yep.
And what does that word solstice mean for those folks out there that may not have a grasp?
Well, it comes from two basic roots. Sol, S-O-L, that's the sun. Stice, S-T-I-C-E, that refers to standing still. So what we're seeing on the 22nd of December is the shortest day and the longest night in the year. In effect, the sun seems to just stop for a bit. And then on the 23rd, there's a little bit more daylight. And on the 24th, there's a little bit more. And it keeps on increasing until 6 months from now we get to the summer solstice, when we have the longest day and the shortest night. So what we really see at the winter solstice is it's a time to say goodbye to the old year, the darkness, and welcome in the new year. And this is where we get into this Oak King and Holly King rivalry, which also has to do with why Santa Claus looks like Santa Claus as we know him.
Ooh, tell us about that.
Well, just visualize the picture of Santa Claus. He's this old fellow, white hair, white beard. He wears a red suit, and in his cap there is a sprig of holly. And he drives a sleigh that's pulled by 8 reindeer, okay? And all of these things have to do with the end of the year, agriculturally speaking, and the beginning of the year, because in the mythology with the Oak King and the Holly King, who are all for sure brothers, and in some systems of things they're twins, but the Holly King is the god of the waning year. He's the old one. And he wears red clothes. And he wears a sprig of holly in his hat.
Okay.
And that's where so there's our Santa Claus. We welcome him, we rejoice in him, we say hello, and we're also saying goodbye.
Why does he bring gifts? How does that correlate?
Well, that has more to do with Saturnalia, because that's what you did in ancient Rome during the 12-day feast for Saturn, also known as Kronos, who was also Father Time. And again, it's this end of the year, beginning of the year thing. Saturnalia was also the start of the Lord of Misrule that you find a lot of references to in medieval times, because that was when owners gave presents to their slaves, and the slaves, the servants, had more power for a time. It was like reversing the normal order of things because the year was ending and the new year was beginning. That sort of stuff.
It's interesting how everything has evolved to what it is today.
It definitely changes. Now there's another custom, Christmas custom, that we have that shows that very nicely, and that's this thing about kissing under the mistletoe. The Druids considered mistletoe to be a plant of peace. And so whenever a bunch of factions would get together in Druid territory, they'd hang a sprig of mistletoe over the door for the house where the gathering was being hosted. And as you went through the mistletoe, you gave your host the kiss of peace, which was a promise that you wouldn't start up a fight and go bashing heads in the middle of the peace conference, okay? And over time, that has evolved into simply kissing under the mistletoe. And I'm not sure that we could say peace is the intended mission on some of these kisses.
No, unless it's a very passionate sense of peace for some I've seen.
Yes.
What about the Oak King? What about the
Bible? Well, the oak king is the king of the waxing year, so he's the one who wins at the winter solstice. The king that's defeated doesn't die, it just means he's retired. So the Oak King and the Holly King fight at the winter solstice, and the Oak King wins and the Holly King retires, and then they come back in June and do it all over again, and it's the reverse.
So in the old days, it could have been a representation of the same people.
Could have been.
And for
people who have the time and energy and skills to put into it, if you have a big enough solstice celebration, you could even reenact this ritual battle. Do it like a dance. You know, you could use lightsabers instead of swords or clubs, and it could be quite entertaining.
How do we know so much about the Druids? You know, I hear things all the time about Druids, and yet I thought there was very little written about them or actually.
Well, there is very little written about them. What has survived, I think, primarily comes from Julius Caesar. And personally, I think most of what Caesar wrote about the ancient Britons and the Druids was not true. He perceived them as a bunch of, you know, savages who painted themselves blue and had no religion and had no culture, because Rome was all the religion and all the culture you needed. Rome was the world. But Druids did have a culture. They wrote in runes, and runes don't have circles. They don't have curved lines. It's more stick things, and they would make what appeared to be scratches on branches, and this was their way of writing. Well, it was done on wood. Over time, the wood rotted, the wood got burned, so we've lost a lot of druidic lore, but bits and pieces have managed to survive. And so, for example, we know that druids valued literacy very highly. And the women could be druids, women could be priests, priestesses, and carry the law. Druids, beg pardon?
Nothing, that was cat. That's Trinity, my cat. She wanted to say hello to the world. Trinity, my cat.
Oh, hello, Trinity.
She stuck her nose over here and just purred.
Oh, I see. But the Druids venerated trees, and this is where the Oak King and the Holly King comes in. Because in addition to valuing mistletoe, the Druids also valued the oak and the holly. Probably because they were trees that survived in the cold very well.
Okay.
However, the Druids are not responsible for the tree trimming and tree decorating that we do. That mostly comes from your Western European, your Germanic influence. And in actual fact, this is another little piece of trivia I've picked up over the years. Christmas trees really didn't become fashionable until Albert married Victoria and brought the custom with him to London. And then, oh, well, if the Queen does it, it's good for everybody. So all of a sudden, Christmas trees became very fashionable, and we're still decorating them.
Inside and out.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. How fun. How, in today's world, how would the Wiccans or the Druids, and we do have some Druid groups around, celebrate the solstice, the winter solstice?
Well, first of all, you would decorate, and your decorations would include evergreen, not necessarily a small tree, you can use the boughs, but you would use the colors green, that's for life, white, because this is for the purity, it's the new year, the goddess is the virgin, the whole year is starting again. And then red is the sun energy for the sun that is being reborn. So that's why you use the colors. You would decorate with pomander balls. That's when you take oranges and apples and stick cloves in them. And that, too, represents the sun. You would burn a Yule log. And Yule logs, incidentally, have to burn for 12 days, and that's where we get the idea of the 12 days of Christmas. So we would, Druids, Wiccans would do all these things. Weather permitting, you would be outside, dance a bit, light a fire, drink mulled wine or wassail or lamb's wool, which is a mixture of ale and... all sorts of things, and the recipe is in another place. I don't have it here. But you would eat, drink, and be merry is what you would do.
For 12 days?
No, just for the one day. The Yule log needs to be watched. And traditionally, it's ash, but you can use whatever wood is handy, and you're not supposed to buy it. Either it's given you, or you go out on the property of whoever is hosting this particular celebration, and you chop down a tree.
A big
and
tree
when you
have to burn for 12 days.
Well, you get a big chunk of it to be your Yule log, and you drag it in, and then what you do is you sprinkle it with cider or wassail, and then you dust it with flour. And this is all to do with generating energy so that the year will be a prosperous one and you will have lots of crops to harvest. And then you light the Yule log using a coal from the previous year's log. And that's why you have to be careful about the way you burn it. It burns brightly the first day. Then the fire gets banked and it gets watched and it basically smolders until the 12 days are up. Then you put it out, and the host for sure keeps a chunk of coal to use to light next year's Yule log, and you can give pieces of that charcoal away to use for other people's next year's Yule logs.
Is that where some of the coal in the children's stockings come from?
Probably, yeah. Yeah. Now, if you start your Yule log on the solstice, then this year, 12 days later, that's January the 3rd. Another way to count the 12 days of Christmas, which I have done for just years and years and years and years and years, was to start counting on December 25th, and that puts the 12th day at January the 6th, which is Epiphany, which is another whole bunch of symbolism. But the 12 days, that's interesting, yeah. Oh, and if you put a sprig of holly near your front door at this time of year, that invites good fortune.
I'm going to go find some holly.
Yep.
Right away. This is Kate Braun. She's with us this evening to talk about the winter solstice. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. Let me give you those phone numbers now so you can call in. The worldwide number, that means you in Japan and Norway and anybody else that's over there, 877-489-6350. Let me give you that number again, 877-489-6350. If you are in the United States or in Canada, the following is your number, 1-888-288-4494. Let me do that again, 1-888-288-4494. That's for both U.S. and Canada. This is 1 hour of uninterrupted discussion. We will be on until 8:55 tonight with Kate Braun, talking about solstice and other things that are other energies and rituals that are associated with that. A little bit of Christmas talk as we go. Kate, how can they reach you while they've got pencil in hand?
Well, you can give me a call at 512-454-2293, and the answering machine is always on. Or they can email me at, and this is a long email address, so I'm going to spell it, kate_braun2000@yahoo.com.
Why don't you do that again? One more time.
Okay, the email address is kate_braun2000@yahoo.com.
Do you have a website?
Yes, I do, and that's a long one, too, so let me spell that. www.tarotbykate.bigste.com. In other words, tarotbykatebigstep.com, and there's no ats, it's just dots in there.
Oh, that's interesting, no at symbol.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we'll do those over again, but let me remind everybody that they are welcome to call in with questions or comments and be part of the discussion at either one of the numbers, and that's how they can reach you. And this show will be archived if you've missed any beginning part of it. So, and Kate has certainly shared with us some wonderful information, folklore, and so forth that I would love for everybody to hear. I always learn something every time I talk to her. She can come by my table and just 2 minutes later I know something I didn't know when she got there before. So all of the shows are archived. Sometimes it takes a couple of days. In the past, we've had a little bit of trouble with the archive system, but I understand it's fine now. So give it a little bit of time and go back and listen to it. We'd love for you to do that. This is Elaine Ireland, Going Global for Spirit with Kate Braun. Okay, all that information stuff, we'll do it again later, folks, if you need anything or if you're just joining us. Share with us some more goodies. It's a different balance. I know it's a different balance.
Yeah, well, talking about balance, I think it's easy if you can visualize it. So think of a clock face. The solstices are at 12 and 6, and that's pretty easy to remember because December, the winter solstice, is the 12th month, and June, the summer solstice, is the 6th month. And then we've got the equinoxes, March and September, that's 3 and 9. And it's different kinds of balance. You get, I think, a bigger shift of balance when you're talking about the solstices, primarily because you start to see that shift in the daylight hours and dark hours. I think and this is just my theory. I haven't read it anywhere. But I think we are, you know, human beings. I think we're genetically predisposed to prefer daylight to darkness. And so we get all this darkness that we've had from Halloween, and it's depressing, it's gloomy, it's harder to put a smiley face on and go out and do things, and of course this current Mars retrograde isn't helping much at all. But after the solstice, each day we see a little bit more daylight. It makes it a little bit easier to get that bounce in our step and the smile on our face. And so, yes, it's a time to celebrate. It's a time to say, hey, the dark is behind us now. We can move forward. We're going into the light, and it's getting lighter and brighter and nicer with every passing day. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
I thought so, too.
At least it does to me.
Well, yes, and consider, when so many of these rituals that we are so used to, when they originated, the culture, the society as a whole, was more agrarian, much more closely connected to the land. So a fertile year was necessary to do what you had to do to propitiate whichever gods were handy. Was a good thing to do because you wanted to make sure there was going to be grain, fruit, vegetables. You wanted healthy animals so you could have enough to eat. These were very important things. And that's really the baseline for so many rituals that we do. It has to do with keeping the planet on an even keel so people don't starve.
All goes back down to our bellies, doesn't it?
Yep.
What will you be doing this holiday? Will you celebrate on the solstice and Christmas?
Actually, on the solstice, I will be at Ancient Mysteries doing tarot readings for whoever might care to stop in or pre-schedule. And I don't have any particular ritual planned because of that. Christmas this year comes on a Tuesday. My husband works Monday through Friday, and so we will probably be opening gifts and doing our Christmas traditional things on Sunday the 23rd. Just because it's a more convenient day of the week.
Okay, tell people where Ancient Mysteries is for you.
Ancient Mysteries is a delightful metaphysical shop in South Austin. The address is 4315 South First, and this is across South First from the St. Elmo School Playground. It is south of the river. For those of you in Austin or the Austin area that can get confused about it, South First runs north and south, not east and west.
Mm-hmm.
And the phone number at Ancient Mysteries is 373-4411. And you can talk to Midnight, who is the owner. She is a very nice Wiccan lady. She is very knowledgeable about many, 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 many things, and she is my guru when it comes to candle magic.
Candle magic is interesting.
Oh, yes. She has wonderful candles down there that can help you find jobs and achieve inner tranquility and send negative energy back to its source and things like that.
Without it, and that's a whole other show. We need to talk about the difference between Wiccan and witchcraft. Wiccan is such a far more positive and
yes, it is
wonderful.
And Midnight is really the person you'd be better off talking to about that than me, because she is Wiccan. And she can tell you so much about the history and how the rituals evolved and why it's important to do certain things in certain ways. And that's why I say she's my guru for the candle magic, because I will know, well, here's the situation. I want to do something to make it better. It's easy for me to work with candles, and so I go to midnight and say, here's the deal. What do I do? What do I need?
Where do I go from here?
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, for those of you that are listening, when it comes to candles, situations call for different colors and maybe different scents mixed in with the wax and maybe even items mixed in with your wax. So it's important, and sometimes there are incantations or prayers or whatever you want to call them to be done at certain times of the day or evening or on a regular basis. And a lot of folks have an altar, and it's, sometimes you don't set it on the altar, and sometimes you do. And so
you sometimes coordinate what you're doing with your candles to the phases of the moon.
Right.
And in all this sort of area, midnight is much more knowledgeable than I am.
I'm glad. That's a good reminder. I would like very much to have her on the show sometime. There's so much misconception about Wicca and the black arts and witchcraft, and so many folks get all of that, and druids, that people get, the uneducated public gets it all mixed up together under one lump energy, and it's just so different.
Yes, it is. It's like you use the term crone. Well, a crone is a wise woman, and when you get old enough, you are a crone. But the term crone is not pejorative. It is not negative. It is not nasty. Okay, but a lot of people will hear crone and they think, oh, one of those Halloween witches that's going to carry you off and eat you. And you know, no. It doesn't have anything to do with that.
You know, I never had that concept. Maybe it was the way I was raised. Crones were always to be highly respected.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And treasured in their community.
And in fact, Midnight told me this really neat bit of lore just not too long ago, because a dear friend of mine sent me an ashtray that's got lava rock mixed in it, but it's got a representation of Pele on it. Now, Pele is a Hawaiian goddess, all right?
Right.
And what Midnight pointed out to me was, look, she is represented in both her aspects as the young maiden and the old crone. Evidently, this is very rare. You see Pele represented as one or the other, but not normally both. And so here's what Midnight told me. When you are in Hawaii, if you see a young woman wearing red walking down the side of the road, well, the native Hawaiians, they're going to stop. They're going to give that young woman a ride. They're going to do whatever they can do to help her, because the young Pele wears red, and you don't want to anger the goddess. Similarly, if it's an old woman wearing white who's in distress and needs help, the Hawaiians are going to stop and help her, because old Pele always wears white, and it's not good to irritate the goddess. If I ever go to Hawaii, I'm telling you, I'm going to wear white all the time.
Me too. I'm of that age. Me too.
Yes, yes.
Oh. Where do we go... Where would someone go to learn more about this subject, about the equinoxes? What are some books or websites or something where, if you know nothing at all about equinoxes or solstices, where would you go?
There are so many sites available. I would just say tell your search engine solstice lore. And just see what turns up, because I have found so many different sites over the years. When I first started pulling all the information together so I could do the seasonal messages that I send out to the people on my email list, the best website I found was done by Stormwing, Stormwing. And I printed all of that out. Now, I don't know if Stormwing's site is still up or if it's still being maintained, but it was just an incredible source of information. It will take me years to use all of it. So the best thing I could say would be just go search. Get on the internet and search and see what you can find, because there's lots of sites out there that will give you bits and pieces of information, and make your own compilation. It's more fun that way anyway.
And when you have all this information, sometimes it's not enough to just have the information. You want to use it. So if you use a little bit of this information, does that necessarily say that you're practicing Wicca?
Oh, no.
Or are you just practicing a ritual that is respectful of the planet and the universe?
I think that's a better way to phrase it.
Okay. Because I don't want people out there to be afraid to do that and be worried about it fighting with their religion or their belief systems.
Well, Elaine, traditionally around Christmas time, you see more people wearing the colors red and white and green.
Yeah, absolutely, but
those are the colors of the season. But wearing those colors does not mean that you're pagan or Wiccan or Druid or unchristian or that you eat babies or anything bizarre like that. You're reflecting the colors of the season, and by doing that, you honor the season. Okay,
like I said,
the green is for life. You've got your evergreen trees. They never shed their leaves. They're always green and vibrant and living. So the green is for life. And the red, well, that's welcoming the sun. This is all that fiery sun energy that's coming in that we want to see this time of year, because the dark of winter is just about over. And the white, that's your virgin goddess. Again, it's talking about the rebirth of the planet. The year starts anew. So we wear red and white and green, and we don't think two hoots about it because, oh, well, this is the colors you wear at Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a deeper significance there that I would say most of the people that are wearing those colors don't recognize and don't know and don't care about, and it really doesn't matter.
Right. So if you go pick up some of the solstice information and you decide to have a ritual or join a group of people that are already doing ritual for this event, it doesn't clash with anything else. It could be another part of the celebration that you already do with a different intent or a different reason.
That's right. And the point I try to make with the seasonal messages that I send out 8 times a year is that it's a way to connect us to the planet, to be aware of the changing seasons, to recognize that, and to just let us be more aware that the Earth, this planet, it is our mother. We need to love her. We need to respect her. We need to keep the water pure and unpolluted, things like that. And when you eat specific foods and when you wear specific colors and when you make specific toasts, it's reminding you that we must love our Mother Earth and we must protect her and we must take care of her. And I think that's something that everybody could use to be more aware of right now.
Folks, get on her mailing list. These 8 emails that she sends out are just wonderful. Her style of writing is fun. They're full of information, and it really reminds you of planet Earth and the energies that we share here. Our worldwide number to call in to be part of the discussion or to ask either one of us a question is 877-489-6350. That's if you're worldwide, USA and Canada. You share 1-888-288-4494. This is Elaine Ireland. You're going global for spirit. Kate Braun is with us tonight talking about the winter solstice. Remember that these shows are archived, so if you just joined us, wait a couple of days and then find us on the archive and listen to the whole thing. It's fun. Kate, you can find Kate at area code 512-454-2293. Now, Kate is a practicing psychic as well. So
yes.
She does tarot readings and teaches classes and does psychic fairs, which, by the way, where's your next one? The one here in January?
Yep. First weekend in January. The prediction panel is on Friday, which is always a lot of fun. and then the fair itself the Saturday and Sunday. And like I said, that's first weekend in January. And here's my handy dandy
and
calendar.
And folks out there, you can always...
Fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Yeah, you can always call her, folks, to pre-schedule a reading for Saturday or Sunday. Are you on the prediction panel this year?
No.
Okay. It's the Radisson Hotel at 6000 Middle Fiskville Road here in Austin, Texas. That's in North Austin. The prediction panel is free.
Yeah, and Middle Fiskville Road runs between Highland Mall and Lincoln Village.
Yeah, it's easy to find. Lots of
yes, it is.
Lots
plenty
of parking.
Mm-hmm.
So, come join us. And like I said, you can always call her at that phone number and pre-schedule a Saturday or Sunday reading if you think you're going to have a limited amount of time. She, like most of the psychics, try to stay on time. But if everybody gets real busy, it's real crazy. And our January fairs are busy. So,
Oh, yes.
It's a good idea to get a pre-schedule. You get there by noon sometimes on Saturday, and most everybody's booked until 2 or 3 already. So it's a good idea to do the pre-scheduling. That worldwide number is 877-489-6350, and our Canada and U.S. shared number is 1-888-288-4494. This is Elaine Ireland going global for Spirit with Kate Braun tonight. Website was... Again, Kate, for you.
Okay, and like I said, it's a long one, so I'm going to spell it out. The website is www.tarotbykate.bigstep.com. In other words, www.tarotbykate.bigstep.com.
And notice there was no at in that, so the at symbol, that's why I wanted her to say it again, because there's no at in the symbol, which in the address, which is interesting to me. It's the first address I've ever heard that has no at in it. Leave it to Kate. Break the rule.
Me too, but that's the way it is. And people message me, and they get me, so it does work.
It does work. Mine's not quite as long. It's ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. It's really easy. You can't say
yes, that's an easy one.
That's an easy one. Well, actually, yours is easy, too. It really is, if you say it.
Yeah.
It is long, but if you say it, it isn't.
But that's why I spell it, because, it helps.
Tell me more about the Oak King. I know he's the waxing part of the year, and he's the one that would maybe have been transformed into our little baby thing at New Year's Eve and has the diapers on. Is that somehow
connected? Well, now, actually, when you get into Father Time and the new baby and the new year, that comes more from Kronos, okay, which is
okay.
Saturn. And that leads us back to the Saturnalia, which is another bunch of myths. But what it was Saturn, Kronos, is the god of time. And he ruled and ruled and ruled and ruled, and he was a good ruler. But eventually Jupiter, his son, wanted to be king and defeated Kronos, who then became the wise old man, and that's where we get this image of Father Time, okay, Kronos, Time, Father Time. And after his defeat, he traveled to Italy, where he ruled long, wisely, prosperously, but he finally figured out he was living too long. So he left. And now the lore says that Saturn, a.k.a. Kronos, lies in a magic sleep on a secret island near Britain, and he will return sometime or another, when the time is right, to create the next golden age. And if that sounds like the King Arthur legend, well, yes, it does, doesn't it? Isn't it interesting?
It also sounds like Jesus returning.
Yeah. But if you remember with King Arthur, he was carried off to Avalon
mm-hmm.
by the the witchy wizard ladies, and they were going to cure him. And it's Merlin who's lying in a deep sleep and will awaken from his sleep when the time comes.
I want to be here when that happens.
Lore is just really interesting that way. And C.S. Lewis, in his science fiction trilogy, in the third volume, which is That Hideous Strength, he called upon that legend of Merlin sleeping, and he has Merlin wake up. And there are some very interesting results that come from that. It is fascinating. That's all I can say. Anyway, to hop back to Saturnalia real quick, the whole point of the Roman Saturnalia was to honor Saturn, a.k.a. Cronus's wise reign, and people gave each other gifts at that time. And that's where we get our Christmas custom of giving gifts to each other. That's where Lore is fascinating. What can I say? I love it.
Well, it's lore, but at the same time, we base a lot of our customs and actions on the lore. Some of us not having a clue where it came from.
And in last Sunday's Parade magazine, one of the rare times that I actually read Marilyn Vos Savant's column, she made the statement that the pilgrims did not celebrate Christmas because it wasn't in the Bible. And I have no idea where she got that particular piece of information. I mean, I always figured that the pilgrims didn't celebrate Christmas because they were having a hard enough time, you know, surviving.
I wonder if she meant all pilgrims or
I think she was talking about the pilgrim settlers that came over.
Okay.
It was that they didn't have Christmas trees because Christmas trees weren't in the Bible.
I don't know the Bible word for word.
I don't either.
But I haven't. Anybody out there that wants to call in and give us some information on that or discuss that, that would be great. But right now, I can't remember anything about a Christmas tree being decorated either.
I don't think so. It didn't come up.
Dolly's not here. I would ask her. She's the Reverend. She knows the Bible.
Okay.
But she's not here. I'll ask her.
Yes. Do that and let me know. I am curious.
Okay. Okay. What else can you tell us? Old woman who knows so much. I just love it. Your head is just so full.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I haven't mentioned yet. There's lots of old sayings, and this is one that I've used in my seasonal messages before, and I just think it's fun. Bayberry candles. It is traditional to burn bayberry candles at this time of year. And so there is this old Germanic rhyme that says, a bayberry candle burned to its socket brings food to the larder and gold to the pocket.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's color green. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something, and, well, you know, a bay bush, again, it's an evergreen. And so, and bayberry makes nice candles. That's true. And so someone came up with this rhyme. And now I wonder that I've actually said this, if worldwide there's going to be a great run on bayberry candles for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I have a girlfriend that burns bayberry year-round. She just loves
it. It's a nice scent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice scent.
And she'll buy them on sale at Christmas time and burn them all year long.
Yep.
Because if you'll notice, you don't find them very often other than...
Well, it is a seasonal item.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much trouble it is to get the wax out of the bayberries. I have no idea. But bayberry, I mean, it will make the berries at a specific time of year, and then, you know, you have a certain amount of time to work with them before they all shrivel up. And then you have to wait till next year.
See, I had no idea how that happened. I thought perhaps it was an extraction of the oils or something in the needles or whatever.
A bayberry doesn't have needles.
Okay, see?
I don't think. It has berries, and I think the oil comes from the berries. I'm not 100% sure on that. Now I'm going to have to go research bayberry.
See? Something else to talk about another time.
Yes, indeed.
Kate is going to be joining us a number of times next year talking about solstices. She'll be back to talk about the spring and fall equinox and the summer solstice as well. So she'll continue to educate us about the rituals and how the rituals have transformed some of our behaviors, that, like I said a while ago, and even our belief systems.
Oh, yeah.
People just do things because their folks did it or their community did it and without asking. So.
That's right, and you just absorb it. It's like the traditional foods that you eat. The English do a goose for Christmas. Americans do a turkey. It's just a different custom, but for me, Christmas without turkey just isn't Christmas, you know?
See, around here we've gotten to have Thanksgiving turkey, and we do something else at Christmas. My son has decided that he wants to honor my mother, his grandmother, by cooking a big Italian dinner with spaghetti and meatballs and
That sounds
salad.
Good.
Yeah, and just do the antipasta and, you know, things like that she would cook on any normal Sunday occasionally. Big pot of spaghetti,
yeah.
and but he still wants the pumpkin pie.
Okay.
You know, those things that we did in the house, too. So it's become quite the mix, which has been kind of fun.
I think so.
We haven't had a turkey at Christmas now for years. So, you know, it's all in what's the tradition, and his whole reason is to honor his grandmother, which I think is...
Well,
really,
I think that is delightful. And certainly we must honor our grandmothers. They are wise old crones and are deserving of respect and honor.
We need to do more of that, don't we? Are there any women figures that are equal to or representative like the Oak King and the Holly King, now that you've mentioned crone again?
Well, the thing is, when you get into female deities, basically what you're talking about is some aspect of the goddess, and this is like your great all-powerful Earth Mother. I would have to let's see, I got all my volume here. Where's volume?
Did I throw you one that you sorry, Kate.
So let's just find us some nice goddesses here real quick to mention. Here is Stormwing. Let's see. It's really more about the rebirth of the king. A good goddess to think of for any season really is Demeter, because if it wasn't for Demeter, we wouldn't have seasons. Here's what Stormwing says about goddesses. Deities to honor at this time of year include all newborn gods and sun gods, and all mother goddesses and triple goddesses. And in specific, he mentions Bridget, Isis, Demeter, Gaia, Pandora, Artemis, Juno, Diana, Astarte, Spinning Woman, and the Virgin Mary.
Spinning Woman is the only one I haven't heard of out of that group.
She's Indian, Native American. And I don't... I know very, 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 very little about Native American mysticism.
I wonder if she's... this is another name for one of the other goddesses. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but Stormwing is giving us goddesses in various traditions, okay? Roman,
all right.
Greek, et cetera, et cetera. My guess would be without, you know, getting on the internet and poking around and trying to dig it up, is that Spinning Woman would be the Native American deity. She spun the world. How about that?
Okay. I'm vaguely remembering from when I taught, I had an American Indian child in my third grade class, and we were talking about how the world was created.
Yes.
How the planet was created. And what she heard was how humans were created. And she stood up and told the story about a spider spinning a web and catching pieces in the web. And it had that spinning.
Yeah, and so Spinning Woman might be some kind of human representation of that spider.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, in the Greeks, Arachne. Spiders are arachnids.
Mm-hmm.
Arachne spun. Yeah.
Wow. We could have 5 or 6 shows off of this one, couldn't we? Or more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Educating with this. Because that's what this show is about, sharing knowledge, making people think, hopefully, getting them to ask some questions, if not of us, themselves, and going on the internet and finding out. This is the joy that I find in doing this show, is bringing folks on like you that have a lot to share and a lot to poke the imagination and get things going. Hopefully you'll have some folks call you to discuss some of this. Is there, I know that you want me to have Midnight on, and I will love to do that. I will get in touch with her and we'll do a show on Wiccan. How hard is it for people to practice the Wiccan culture these days?
Well, in the Austin area, it's not that difficult. You get outside of Central Texas, you get into some of these small towns, and it's going to be more difficult. The impression I get is that you're going to meet with more resistance from people who think you're doing some kind of devil worship stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is not what Wiccan is at all.
Right. That's why I want to have a show about it, because it has nothing to do with negativity at all. It's
right.
just different than an organized church.
The closest thumbnail description I could do would be to say nature worship, which, again, is just focusing on the planet, on the aspects of the planet, Mother Earth, and trying to live in harmony with her.
I think part of the problem, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Wiccans have a number of goddesses and other deity that does not mean that they exclude organized religion terminology. It's that they add to that the goddess of or the god of. In addition to.
Yeah.
Am I wrong or right on that? And that
well,
may be what
I
scares
think
some
I think you're in the right ballpark, but I think what you've really done is open the door to a more detailed explanation than I can give you. I think it's
different.
I'm just not sure how to explain different. You have various goddesses that have various territories, but it really all comes down to living in a good relationship with the planet.
I love that explanation. That is
okay.
So simple and yet profound, and at the same time, I would imagine that it's not that easy to practice on a consistent basis without it really being in your heart, just like any other.
Like any other religion, you give it as much time and energy as you feel is appropriate. There's plenty of people who say, oh, I'm a good Christian, and they go to church once a year.
On Christmas. Or Easter.
And there's other people who don't talk about it so much, and they go to church every week.
Yep.
So it depends on how you live your life, religiously speaking. And that's an individual matter. It's a matter of conscience is what it is.
Right, and for me, it's how I see people treat each other. To me, that's how they honor. This is Kate Braun. We've been talking about the winter solstice and a few other odds and ends. We only have about 5 minutes or so, so if you're going to call in, please call in and visit with us. Worldwide number, 877-489-6350. Canada and the United States, you share a number, 1-888-288-4494. But if you miss Kate tonight, you can call her at area code 512-454-2293. And if you haven't gotten her website, her name is KateBraun. You could probably type that in and pull her up in the Austin area, maybe even her website. The website is Tarot by Kate, correct?
Tarot by Kate. And I'll just add this, Elaine. If somebody wants to find me, if they tell their search engine Tarot by Kate, they'll pop up and there'll be a link directly to the website.
There you go. That's the best way to do it. We have
a few
more minutes. It's simpler, yeah. BBSradio.com, that's where you are, but you know that because you punched the right buttons. If you are an up-and-coming writer, a psychic, or otherwise in the metaphysical world, give me a call. I consider myself a promoter of the next generation. So if you are up-and-coming, especially if this is your first book or your second attempt and it's going better than your first book, you've recorded music, you are introducing yourself to the world as a special talent, I'd love to talk to you. I would love to share your talents with the world because I do consider myself a promoter of the next generation. In fact, I have a fair that I'm going to do twice a year called The Next Generation. And those folks are non-professionals as such, or they've never done a psychic fair. And the public comes in and is introduced to them, which is great, and they get sample readings. So it's a fun thing to do. Kate would not qualify for that, so you'll have to find her at the more professional shows, the ones that, where do you travel outside the state, or do you?
I don't travel outside the state. This year, well, 2008, a colleague and I, we are going to venture forth and try the Corpus Christi Fair.
And you'll have fun.
And we're going to see how that goes. And then the last weekend in January, there is Egan Sanders Holistic Rodeo in Kerrville, and we're going to try that. But that's about as far out of town as I go.
Yeah, I've done the Corpus Fairs. I've not done the other one, but he has a good reputation as a promoter. So, but the Corpus Fairs, you should, that's fun. I mean, it's Corpus. Give yourself some time to play a little bit and go have a lovely meal on one of the bayside. And there's a lot to do there besides do the readings, but the people are very receptive and have always been very kind. So, go play. Go play there. And, of course, we'll check on Kate's website for her schedule and the dates for those fairs. And remember that you can make appointments with her, pre-set the appointments for the fairs. Do you do phone readings, or do you do?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Phone readings, and do you tape when you do private readings?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Oh yes. All my prices include state sales tax and a cassette tape of the session, and with the phone readings, once I get paid, then the tape goes out to the client by return mail.
There you go. All right. We're going to have to start signing off now. Just remember that whatever your beliefs are, this is the season to find peace in your heart and joy and celebrate and share. Even though it's predominantly a Christian season, doesn't mean you can't share the season with your loved ones. And that energy just kind of spreads itself, no matter what your belief system is. And we wish, I'm sure I'll speak for Kate here, I know that both of us wish the public everything joyful. For this season. Kate, thank you for having been with us. We'll look forward to being with us again in the spring. You're going to be back when? March?
Yes, for the equinox. And we will talk about eggs.
Oh, fun. We're not going to tell you what she's going to talk about eggs, but we're going to talk about eggs.
You'll
have to come back and find out.
All right.
Thank you so much, Kate. We'll see you at the fair in January.
Absolutely. Have a great holiday. Beg pardon?
Good night, everybody. You have any last things to say, Kate?
Just one thing, and this is a very traditional thing that we say this time of year, but I mean it from my heart. I wish everyone peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your energy tonight. So appreciated. Good night, world. See you next week. Good night.